Blog Talk Radio.
Oh boy, we got some time problems here. Well, we don't want to go any further with that sort of nonsense. Let me go ahead and introduce myself. I'm Rick Spezak, news director of Progressive News Network. I want to welcome you tonight. We have some really fantastic guests, and I'll be introducing them in just a second. But first, I want to let you know some of the news that's going on in our fair state. The Republicans are coming. The Republicans are coming. Good God. The Republicans are coming to Florida for the primary. So guard your daughters, ladies and gentlemen. Guard your sons. The Republicans are coming. The Republicans are coming. You can see the kind of leadership they are offering the country. Hasn't it been amazing? And I'll just say that we should start saving our pennies now, because when they hold their convention in Tampa, God knows it'll be a constitution-free zone. A couple alerts from regular contributors. Dana Humphreys sends us this note about Daytona Beach trying to criminalize hunger. They're adjusting the city charter so that they can prevent you from feeding the hungry. Hey, how about that? Obviously, this is really important to the city, that we criminalize people who are asking for money or asking for food in the streets of Daytona Beach. God knows what kind of trouble that is. And also from our good friend Trish Sheldon, who keeps an eye on the GM foods for us, that's genetically modified foods, she lets us know about a citizen's arrest of Cargill, who is hurting farmers across the globe with their GM agricultural products. Also, I want to thank right at the top my good friend and co-producer, Miss Mickey Royce, without whose help these shows could not be done. I also want to alert you to some other fine webcasters in the good progressive tradition. First and foremost, our good friend Gwen Holden Berry and her show There Be Monsters. So it's Sunday, 6 to 7 p.m. comes on just before this show. Also, I want to mention the Amy Tidd Show, which is Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. And Amy is just another fantastic webcaster, a strong progressive, brings the voice of the Space Coast across the web to all those good progressives out there listening. I also want to mention two other good friends on the progressive webcast front. Anita Stewart, who's just started a new show out of the Tampa area. And what list would go without mentioning Diana G with her Wild Wild Left show? So make sure you check out the PNN page. That's newmercurymedia.com/PNN for links to these and other fine projects out there on the web. Of course, we know you, if you're a web person, we know you darkened your website for the SOPA protest. And we know that you support freedom of speech on the web. So we've got our first guest in here. Let me go ahead and fade out our good friend the music, because what you can do about me, and it's a better world coming, friends, because the good people that you hear on shows like this, good people doing good work every day of the week. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, is this Meredith?
It sure is. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Very good. I want to welcome you. Thanks so much for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Meredith, you are involved in so many important issues. Tell us what we should know first.
Oh, my goodness. What should you know?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, to start with, let me introduce myself. My name is Meredith Ackman. I'm the president of Palm Beach County National Organization for Women. I'm also the vice president of Florida National Organization for Women. And I'm also the president of the Women's Health. sorry. We just started a new nonprofit that's basically going to provide subsidies to women who can't afford birth control.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's the Women's Health Foundation of South Florida.
Oh, that's great. You know, I know that you are a person who's doing so much good work on so many different areas. I can see why you've got a head full of good information for us. Just go ahead and start wherever you'd like, my dear.
Thank you. Well, let me start with talking a little bit about NOW so that I'm not sure how familiar your audience is with NOW and what we do. So I'm just going to kind of mention our priority issues so that people have a good understanding of where I'm coming from. And I look at NOW as the sampler for the activist because there's something for everyone. So we start off with abortion and reproductive rights, and these are in no particular order. And then we go to economic justice, particularly for women, but in general. We look at ending gender discrimination. We look at lesbian rights and LGBT community rights. We look at promoting diversity and ending racism and stopping violence against women. And we also do everything we can to help the next generation forward, which means everything from environmental issues to supporting women who are up and coming, the younger generations. So that's just a very brief overview of what NOW does in particular.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, there's such a noble tradition of women fighting for rights. I think back to Margaret Sanger and those suffragettes, you know. So go on. Tell us about obviously you're faced with a lot of typical Republican shenanigans in the legislature once again.
Well, the conservatives are definitely challenging us once again. There's definitely some interesting and dangerous issues that are going to be coming up in this legislative session. I think there's a couple that I really want to talk about because I think they're more important than some of the other ones. And the first one is definitely Senate Bill 290, the companion bill is House Bill 277 by Senator Flores and Representative Bergen. This bill opposes government's interference with women's health. Essentially, what this bill is going to do is make it more difficult for clinics to open and operate, for the good health centers that we use to make sure that women have access to health care that they wouldn't otherwise have access to would be limited, which includes but is not limited to any of the existing centers and also extending to new centers that would open because it's going to limit the centers that can open. And it's also going to close down some of the centers if they aren't particularly owned by a doctor. And as you may know, some of the administrators even in hospitals aren't doctors. So it's an omnibus bill. It really does not do anything good for women. This would also interfere with women who are in their doctor's offices. It's so far-reaching that it would really make it difficult for women to access health care.
You know, I'm always so puzzled how it is that a political movement which claims to be wanting to reduce the size and reach of government somehow can't seem to keep its hands off women. Do you think it's paternalism, or is it just anti-women feelings?
I think it's a mix. I think it's both. I think that there's definitely anti-women sentiments out there. And don't get me wrong, you know, I love men, and I don't have any problem with working with men. Two men are on my board. But I do think that there are people out there who are definitely targeting women as theoretically the enemy, and women are not the enemy. We just want equal rights as opposed to different rights. And, you know, I was talking to a reporter a couple of weeks ago where I explained to him that societal rules are really the only reason that abortion is even a topic of conversation the way that it is. And when I went, you know, when I've had procedures done before, when I've had not, it wasn't an abortion, but when I had a lumpectomy, nobody said to me, you can't take care of yourself. You can't care for your own health. And yet abortion is a topic that people consistently say you cannot take care of yourself. You cannot take care of your own health. And it's a danger. It's a medical procedure that should be treated like any other medical procedure. This particular bill says that only health centers that perform abortions will be wholly owned and operated by a physician. that ethics training would be added into continuing education requirements only for physicians who perform abortions, which is not required of others. Ethics training is particularly is not required for others. And women have to make extra and unnecessary visits to their doctor because of a 24-hour waiting period that this bill will put into effect. So there's no medical reason for it. It's solely to prevent women from having safe access to health care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's extremely dangerous. Let me see. What are some other ones? There's one piece of legislation that I'm actually happier about, that there is good news out there.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, there's a piece of legislation that has it has bipartisan support, and it's House Bill, I hope I don't get it wrong, it's House Bill 1083, the companion bill is Senate Bill 1440. I don't remember the Republican that's in the Senate that's going to be sponsoring it, but Representative Lori Berman from the House is sponsoring this bill. And basically, the legislation would allow for the provision of unemployment insurance for victims of domestic violence when the victim reasonably believes that continued employment would jeopardize the individual's safety. So basically, what that means is that if a woman or a man, if somebody is a domestic violence victim and they're afraid that the person is going to come to their work and put them in danger or their coworkers, they can safely not be in that environment.
Wow, that's...
Right.
That's fantastic. Let's hope that gets through.
Yeah, this is a good bill, and we're really... I'm really happy to see that there's something out there that Representative Berman stepped up to the plate and really helped us with that piece of legislation. So really happy about that.
That's super.
I've been on the show before, and since last time we spoke, we have other good news as well. We opened the first rape crisis and treatment center in Palm Beach County, and I'm doing some work to try and get the word out and make sure that everybody's aware that there's access to it. It's called the Butterfly House. And it's located at Wellington Regional Medical Center.
Wellington Regional Medical Center.
Yes.
Kent, is there ways that our audience can help?
Oh,
are there kind of, is there a friends of or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's been set up already because this is fairly new. Like I said, we just opened the doors at the first of the year. So,
congratulations.
You're welcome to get in touch with Palm Beach County now, and I'll put them in touch with the right people to go ahead and help with donations or anything else that they're interested in supporting us with. And the website for Palm Beach County now is pbcnow.org.
pbcnow.org. Well, super.
Yeah.
I will mention that a couple times in tonight's show. Thanks, Mark. Meredith, thank you.
Absolutely. And in addition to that, The Palm Beach County Now has just recently started our own blog online. It's also on our website, so you'll be able to see we've already posted the first one, and it's had some pretty good response. We're really excited about this particular one because it's going to be an opportunity for people to respond to us and participate in what we do and get involved in that way. So we're really excited about it.
Oh, that's great. That's really far out.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, I'm reading a book that was written in the turn of the century. I was finished in 1911, and so many of the issues that they were talking about then, they're talking about now. And I've just been reading some stories about Emma Goldman and Margaret Sanger, and to see this arc that, in one sense, how much progress has been made in 100 years, and on the other hand, how many of the same battles are still being fought?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you for the good work that you're doing. You are helping every woman in this area. Thank you
thank you.
And all the good people that are working with you.
Before we hang up, can I give you a few dates that your audience might be interested in participating in some of our
Absolutely.
Events?
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Just give me 1 second. Let me pull that up.
No problem. Now, you call us anytime, please, okay?
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I love talking to you because I know that you're covering the gamut of really important things. And I was going to talk about LGBT issues tonight as well, but I know that you've got Alan Hendricks on the slate, and he's a fantastic representative for the LGBT community. So he's definitely going to cover that for us. So on Wednesday, January 25th at 6 p.m., there's going to be an event at Planned Parenthood at 2300 North Florida Mango Road in West Palm Beach, and it celebrates choices because this is the 39th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So we're going to have a celebration at Planned Parenthood, which is going to be wonderful. Saturday, February 11th at 6 p.m., also at Planned Parenthood, we're going to have a showing of the movie In Anita's Wake. And it's going to be pretty exciting. The LGBT community is participating, and so is the ACLU, so we've got a lot of participation there. On Monday, February 20th, is our Black History Month program at Compass GLCC at 201 North Dixie Highway in Lake Worth.
Cool.
And that's going to be a really great program. And then it's very important. They're all equally important, but on March 18th at 11:30, we're going to have the 39th annual Susan B. Anthony Feminist of the Year Award Luncheon. It's the event of the year, and we've steadily had more and more people coming to the event, and everyone from last year is coming in and then some. So we're going to have I expect over 200 people that are movers and shakers in our community. For women's issues, for LGBT rights, for equality for all is going to be represented there. So it's going to be an amazing event. And they can get information from the website as well. Or they can email me at president@pbcnow.org for information. The tickets are on sale. They're $45 for members, $55 for non-members, and $75 includes the annual Now membership as well.
Well, thank you so much, Meredith. I sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Richard. I really love talking to you.
Okay. Anytime, dear. And now I've got Eric and Leanne. Hold on 1 second. Thanks again, Meredith. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll put on speaker.
Hi there. I've got Eric and Leanne. Welcome.
Welcome.
How are you guys tonight?
We're good. We're just putting it on speaker so we can both talk to you at the same time.
No problem. I want you to tell us what's new in the world of Positive Mind and Body Support Group Network.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Sure. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Eric. I got you. Speak a little bit closer to the microphone, if you would.
Okay. How you doing?
Real good. Want to welcome you once again. So tell us, what's new with the Positive Mind and Body Support Group Network? This is Leanne Martinez and Leanne Dennison, right?
Eric Martinez and Leanne Dennison, that's right.
Great. So go ahead, tell us what's new.
Well, we run together support groups for the HIV-positive community in the Treasure Coast area of Florida. And it's a great network. We feel like we're doing a lot of good in the community, but we also try to reach out to the general population to educate, such as we're doing right now, about the topic of HIV/AIDS in the Treasure Coast. So let's see. For World AIDS Day, we did get a couple of interviews on the radio, and what we're trying to do specifically, especially in 2012, is to get more of our clients to come forward to show a face to HIV, because stigma is the number one issue, everyone agrees, who works in the HIV field, that's holding back so many positive things from happening. The perception in the public is that it's a gay problem, and that's one of the biggest misconceptions. And there's a lot of women and children out there who are infected or affected, And when people understand that, then they become very sympathetic and have a lot more, a much different idea of the disease, and they have sympathy and look at it differently. So that's what we're trying to do, is to put a face on it so people can understand that it is not just a gay disease. Also, a big misconception that we're trying to fight out there in the public is that a lot of young people think that they can just take a pill and they don't have to change their risky behavior if they are engaging in risky behavior, which does spread the disease, of course. So we'd like to tell them and teach them that that is not true, that it's very difficult to get the medicine if you either have to have private insurance or Medicaid, and that's not always easy to come by. So there's a lot of misconceptions out there that we're trying to fight. And if the stigma is reduced and people understand the truth about the disease more, then more can be done for research, development for a cure, more people getting tested. Of course, when people think that only quote-unquote bad people have the disease, then they don't think that they need to be tested, or if they fear that they might have the disease, they might have the virus, they don't want to be tested because they don't want to be labeled. So that prevents a lot of people from being tested in this day and age. So there's many, many reasons that we do the work that we do, but we are doing a lot of good work out in the community and as well as nationally. You don't see it in the mainstream media, but believe me, behind the scenes, there is a lot of good work being done by the advocates, and I believe the tide is going to turn one of these days for the truth to come out about the disease.
Well, let me ask you a question, if I may. It seems that with the economic issues that everyone's been seeing with the, I suppose, the sports and celebrity fever that constantly clogs the commercial media, I haven't seen a story about AIDS on commercial media in months and months and months. Where do we stand? What are the statistics looking like in 2012?
Well, right now, as it stands, Richard, that's going back to your question pertaining to the media and the mainstream. The only time you'll see a commercial on HIV, unless you're tied in with MTV and BET or VH1, they usually run their ads periodically during the day and some during the evening. But on regular channels, let's say any of your main channels, they run their only ones that actually run any HIV educational piece is actually, you'll find it at about 3 o'clock in the morning on ESPN. They'll run it for about 2 hours, the same commercial, but honestly, they're the only ones out there who are doing this, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame because these are public announcements that should be promoted within our community, especially, you know? Especially like you stated, you have all these actors and singers and all these media people that are out there that are making good money and that they're well-known in the community and worldwide. So they should put a face towards HIV and get involved, you know. Elson John, he does that very much so now than ever before. You know, there are a couple of others that are involved in it. But the point comes down to is that we need more. Right now, as it stands, we're seeing, let's put it this way, the economy has affected a lot of the budgets, as you know, across the board. Of course, it doesn't make a difference if you're in the healthcare or you're in the automotive business, it's affected everyone. So this ripple effect actually has made certain departments and certain organizations to really tighten up their belt to try to make the buck last longer. But by doing that, what they're doing is that they're actually hurting the services because they can't render those services as much or at all to their community or to their clients. As your numbers keep on increasing, what are you supposed to do with that budget that you're stuck with for the next 2 years when your actual increase of infection keeps on going up, you know? You also are seeing, like, your good example is that recently the CDC had stated that they had realized after so many years that they were promoting the disease in the way that going after the disease was going after the affected one, not the infected one, okay? They wanted the infected one to get tested and to get medical attention and stuff like that, but they focused more on the affected. They realized that they needed now to go back to the way they started this years ago, and that is working within the infected community. Because when you work within the infected community, you are branching out into the affected, you know.
Yeah.
And that way you can educate by using your peers and your neighbors who have someone infected in their family in a positive way, not negatively, not with stigma, not with all the negative stuff that's out there, but in a very positive way. We're seeing an increase in faith-based organizations getting involved this year more than ever, which is great to see that within our community. And as it stands right now, Leanne and I were talking about this. I'll give you a quick statistic in regards to something that came by us as an example in just in Indian River County. And this is just an STD report, okay? The age group is between 10 to 19, okay? They had over 171 that came down with chlamydia, 57 of them came down with gonorrhea, and 4 of them came down with syphilis within 1 year, okay? And
yeah,
that's 10 to 19, okay? That's a very shocking number because that should show you that the education is not getting out there to the community, especially to our youth, you know?
Yeah.
They're seeing a change in the gender way because once again, they were focusing more on the gay community and MSMs, the men who have sex with men, which that group is a very hard group to decipher because you might have a male who might say to you that he is not he considers himself heterosexual. He does not consider himself gay at all or bisexual, but he is having sex with other men, okay? And they realized they had to come out with some form of way of tracking these numbers because this is a group that is actually going out there and infecting in a higher rate than your basic African-American, as were they at one time the African-Americans, which are still considered the number one in our community as the highest in ratio infected in the area. You're talking about in our area anything between 1 out of 30 somewhat African Americans that are infected, you know, and that's kind of mind-boggling considering, you know, our area, how small it is. But once again, we are in an epicenter. You know, this epicenter has been growing, and it seems that as I tell many people over and over again, just because HIV is in one place doesn't mean it's going to stay there, you know. We do travel. We do go out to different places. So when a person that's infected goes visit, let's say, from here to West Palm or from here to Stewart, guess what? He has a disease, and if he has unprotected sex, he's passing it on, you know.
Yeah.
So it's something that we could say that we have found ourselves in a situation of trying to educate the actual youth and peers within the community in regards to this. We're also seeing an increase of intravenous drug use. Intravenous drug use recently is coming back into the mainstream because of the style of usage of drugs, you know, especially methamphetamines. That those are basic drugs that are being used now. Instead of them actually smoking it, they're actually now shooting it up, you know. So, you're seeing major changes.
Did you have another question, Rick?
No, I was just going to say. I'm sure you guys have some activities coming up that people should know about. Is there anything you can let us in on?
Yes. Well, we have right now, we're looking into the future of developing our fundraiser. Our committee is supposed to be meeting within the month of February, which, of course, we'll keep you tabs on that, what's going to be happening to our fundraiser this year. We are looking to do the Week of Prayer, which is in the month of March. We haven't given a date yet, but as soon as we get that, that'll be on our website. And that Week of Prayer is actually done in all the churches within the community, and it's 7 days of worshiping and actually passing on the message and not the disease within the community and letting them know about the disease. We're also trying to link ourselves up with a couple of other providers in our area. I don't know if Leanne mentioned this to you. One of our disparities that we face in our community is transportation for our clients. Well, we've been lucky this year that a network of what's the name of that network, Leanne? The Transportation Community Network.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah. And it was started in Fort Pierce, St. Lucie County, and they're trying to get bus services or some type of services or ridership to take clients to and from meetings after hours when the bus services are not are available for these people, you know.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get some funding behind it for us to do this, which is great. We're still doing our support groups, which Leanne can mention to you the days of the meetings and times.
Where could people get information about that, Leanne?
Yes. Well, we have a website, and they can also call our phone number, which is 772-563-2503. And if we're not answering, we will take a message, and we'll get right back to that person.
Let me ask you to read that again a little slower, okay?
Sure. The phone number is 772-563-2503, and we check our messages regularly.
Super.
And I could tell you the website, and that is www.positivemindandbody.wordpress.com.
Oh, good. You got a WordPress site.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. For now, we do. We hopefully to move that on to someplace else where we could actually do more with our site, you know.
But good.
Like I said earlier, you're working on a small budget, you know.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I can appreciate that. I do some pro bono work myself, and it's there's so many great causes out there, and you know, you guys are doing really life-saving work, not just helping people who have problems, but helping their families and helping people understand that this is not the a disease that's limited to a small number of people.
That's right.
No, and I just want to make one last comment, Rick, myself. All it takes is going to have a donate blood, and you can get a positive result. All it takes is one encounter with unprotected sex with someone. All it takes is not having a test when you're pregnant and you breastfeed that baby. It's very, very quick. The transmission is very insidious and sneaky, okay? And it jumps up on people every day in this country, and it sneaks up on them, and it's extremely traumatic. And people just don't understand that. And why is not in the mainstream media? Well, you know, I have theories about that, okay? And honestly, I do believe that the conservatives in the government control the media.
Yeah.
And I believe that they have their reasons why this is not a top agenda for them. But, like I said, the truth is that anyone can get it at any time. It only takes a heartbeat. So, we will continue our work, and the truth will come out, and there needs to be a lot more, and the day is coming for that.
Either Leanne or Eric, whoever wants to answer this, has the infection rate per capita leveled off? Is it still increasing? Is it decreasing?
You know what really, really, really bothered me in December?
What's
the
that?
The mainstream media, they come out with these one-sentence lines, okay? They'll throw something out, like on CNN, for instance. They'll throw out one sentence. Oh, and by the way, AIDS deaths are on the decline. That's it. That's all they say. For us in the field, that is so upsetting to hear. Because it's like telling the public that, oh, go ahead and have sex. Don't worry about a thing, okay? That couldn't be further from the truth. I don't know why they would possibly think that that is okay. On the truth, the HIV infection is up, okay? It is spreading. You can't just let a disease like this go along its merry way without doing something to stop it, okay? Yes, it's true that sex and drugs do spread the disease, but guess what? That includes women and children. Innocent, married people who've been married for 30 years can show up positive if one of their partners decides to cheat, okay? This is very, very bad for our society. So when CNN or somebody like that throws out a statement like that with no data, with nothing behind it, I get very upset, okay, because HIV infection is up, 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 up. Okay, there isn't one place on the corner of this globe that it hasn't touched and it isn't growing. So as we went to a meeting the other day with someone who's very knowledgeable in the field, she said America is a provider-oriented country where you test positive, then you go to your provider and they deal with it. Other countries have other ways of dealing with it, and it's prevention, prevention, prevention. Okay, this is America, and this is something we need to fix. Prevention is the way to go.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you all coming on. You have critical information that literally without it, people will die. And I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. Thanks again. Please come back again, okay?
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, you guys take care and keep up the good work. You're making this a better world. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob. Same to you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've got Alan Hendricks here. Good evening, Alan. Welcome.
Good evening, Rick. Good to hear you.
And you too, sir. And you too. Hey, Alan, tell us a little about yourself and tell us what's new.
What is new? My name's Alan Hendricks, and I organize for a group called Equality Florida here in Palm Beach County.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you. You're doing the good work of human rights.
It is. It's been an adventure.
And, of course, you say this with Republicans descending on our poor, benighted state, even as we speak.
You know, I think we need to get creative with that whole thing. something in me just wants to get creative with it. There's a creative response to that.
Absolutely. If we just sat and thought negative, boy, I'll tell you, they'd have already won. We don't do that, do we?
No. I do feel a little sullied, though. what's going on with us? We have lobby days coming up in Tallahassee. And it's an exciting time. If anybody wants to join us in Tallahassee for lobby days, it's February 6th and 7th. They can go on our website at eqfl.org and sign up. And we'll walk them through the lobbying process, and it's a great experience, number one, because you're in Tallahassee and you're actually going and lobbying your senators and your House members. But then you've got some training that you can bring back to wherever you live in your district and then repeat those actions with your senators and your representatives at home. And it's just a great time, and anyone is welcome. It's a great experience. It's, you know, all the way in Tallahassee, but I've done it 3 or 4 times, and it's always been worth the trip.
Yeah, it's important that that our public servants are reminded who they work for.
Yes, and they're very impressed when you show up from Palm Beach County to Tallahassee to say something to them. That really. The drive is, it's a hike. But we always find cheap rooms. We always go out and have dinner afterwards and have a good time. And it's important for them to know that they're not hiding up there in Tallahassee, that we'll seek them out and have a little discussion with them Tallahassee.
Speaking of Tallahassee, it seems that Human Rights does have a few friends up there. I understand there's some good news on the Pafford front.
Yes, absolutely. We've got two bills, and my good friend, Mark Pafford, is the sponsor of the Florida Domestic Partnership Act in the House, and Senator Sobel over there in Hollywood is the Senate sponsor, and generally it provides protections for all Floridians. Everything that the state can afford, it would do, and it's a response to, we don't have protections for our families as GLBT citizens of Florida, but it's available to everyone, and domestic partnership protections we've got about 6 million people covered locally. You know, Palm Beach County, Orange County is now looking at the domestic partnership registry, Miami, Broward. So we have a lot of piecemeal domestic partnership protections across the state. This would add to it and just make it a statewide thing. So I'm excited. I love my friend Mark Baffert.
he's and, a great guy. He's really in there for us.
He is an awesome guy. And you know, Senator Sobel as well. They only get 6 bills, and to have them take up the cause of equality as one of their bills, it just shows a lot of character. It shows that they're out there fighting for all Floridians.
That's right. Well, what else is new, sir?
Well, we've the other bill we've got in Tallahassee right now is the Florida Competitive Workforce Act, and that's Scott Randall in Orange County and Nan Rich. I believe she's in Weston, and these are just protections. You know, if I got fired from my job because my boss didn't like gay people, I would have no way to. I couldn't go to a lawyer and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I was fired unjustly," because there's no laws on the book that says that's illegal. Isn't that hard to wrap your head around?
Well, in this state, there's so much that one gets to be concerned about.
Well, it's not only wrong on kind of a human rights level, but it's wrong on a you know, we want Florida to be attractive to you know, the Googles and the Apples and the you know, some of the big corporations, and they have told us without much interference that these protections are important to them if they want to move. And say Scripps was the latest one. When they were talking to Orange County, they said, listen, you don't have these protections in place. These protections are important for our employees that we want to attract. You know, how do you answer that? So Orange County got really busy.
Well, that's good. That's good.
You know, once the big boys, the you know, Fortune 500 companies say, listen, we want the best and brightest. These protections are important to them. So they're important to us, and you know, if we're talking jobs, it would seem to me this would be kind of a no-brainer.
It's really wonderful that these two things align. Unfortunately, they don't always, but to have human rights and economic interests be on the same bell, that certainly should make it easier for even troglodytes to understand that human rights are important.
Yeah, and I mean, I believe they understand, but I believe that our political system, the way things are run in Tallahassee, is the problem. You know, the way the laws get made, sausage and lawmaking.
Yeah,
it's not pretty to watch, and it really holds us back in a lot of areas.
Well, let's hope that the redistricting does some good. God knows we really need it.
Yes, let's hope. Oh, that's liable to be a little bit of a process still. You know, I hold out great hope for some of the people who are making these decisions. But like I said, the politics just really throws a monkey wrench into everything.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We appreciate the update. And I want you to know that when you've got some more information for us, please, if you got something to tell us, don't hesitate to call us, okay?
Absolutely, man.
Thank you so much for coming back, sir.
Good talking to you.
As okay, always. Bye-bye.
All right, Rick, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, I've now got Scott Eskew. Is that correct, Scott?
Yes, it is, Richard. How are you this evening?
Welcome. I'd like to welcome Scott Eskew, from Occupy Fort Lauderdale, and you've got some interesting information on a foreclosure activity that you guys are working on. Why don't you tell us about that, Scott?
Actually, Richard, we've worked on several foreclosure families that are victimized by this foreclosure fraud that's happening, that's running rampant throughout the country. We helped the Ben and Mays family in Coral Springs several weeks ago.
Excellent.
We did what we call an eviction block. And we were successful with a family in West Palm Beach this past week. I'm not at liberty to
I understand.
Talk about their identity at this point, but we were successful, you know, through phone campaigns, email campaigns, and actual occupying the facility, the property.
Evidently, the federal government has no interest in making banks behave reasonably, but it's good to know that someone's standing up for the people.
You know, Richard, thank you, and it's thanks for having me on the show, having us represented on your show. You're so right about that, you know, it's so important that we shine a bright light on the injustices that are happening to so many families around the country. Yeah, they've just been victimized. All of us have been victimized numerous times through the fraudulent foreclosure practices. And actually, our state legislator is trying to push more laws onto the books that would speed the process.
Why have hesitating due process? Why bother to actually investigate facts when we can just come to a broad conclusion in favor of our friends, the bankers? It boggles the mind when you see bankers being bailed out, taking bonus money, and then turning a cold shoulder to the people who've been paying them money. You know, they
Richard,
won four times. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, you're so right about that, Richard. I mean, it's not only have they been, you know, getting these bonuses and things like that. You know, it was our tax dollars, trillions and trillions of dollars, that were given to these banks to bail them out of the casino gambling that they were doing with our most cherished investment in this country, and that is our home. They bundled and packaged our mortgages, your mortgage, my mortgage, and many other mortgages together, and basically shredded them and created this securitization process that they sold these mortgage-backed securities all over the world, including teachers, pension funds. So they were a direct cause of the housing boom, the artificial increase in values that subsequently caused the housing bust in this country and put us into this great recession that we're into today.
Anyone who takes a close look at that process and how it worked, they were incentivized to drive the most ridiculous bargains because that was their best upside, and they were protected from the downside. I had a chance to speak to a family friend who's a banker. A man spent his entire professional life in banking. And I said, you know, it seems to me no big shock to wonder, quote, where the money went of this bubble. The money went in your pocket. You know, there's nothing difficult to understand at all. He said, well, Richard, you have to understand, this whole situation got so complex, nobody actually knew what they were selling. I said, you know, there's a simple explanation for somebody who sells something that they can't explain. It's just called fraud. That's all. It's just fraud.
Yeah. Plain and simple fraud. And, you know, these banks, they were basically, they could get these mortgages and bundled and packaged and sold around the world. So it did not have a negative or an adverse impact on the bottom line for the bank because they could get them shipped out and sold off. So they really didn't care who they were giving loans to or what the quality of the loan was. There was no underwriting in the loan origination process. It truly was just a big casino, and it was all about building shareholder value for the banksters, if you will.
Yeah.
To make a lot of money, like you're saying, you know, and it's just horrible that our government and is just completely ignoring this crisis that we're in. You know, it's just damaging families. It's destroying families. It's just horrible what's going on right now. And,
you know
we're aiming to shine a bright light on this.
Well, I think that it gives me hope when I see the same kind of spirit that stood up against the Vietnam War, that stood up with Martin Luther King on the human rights for African Americans and Hispanic Americans, and I see that same spirit, that same American, we're in this together, stand up for these poor people who've been abused in their mortgages, and stand up against what is clearly a government's entirely in the pocket of the banksters. I'm sure you've seen in the news, just like I have, they're saying, well, we've got a new deal where it's basically going to be another cover your ass, a little sprinkle of something for the people, but really the real money is going to the bankers once again.
Yeah. As you know, the take I feel is like, let them eat cake, the masses, you know. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the banks, they got bailed out with the money, the trillions of dollars, and instead of putting that money back into society and helping you know, modify loans and put money back into small business to help spur this economy. They kept all the money. Not only did they keep it and hoard it, but they actually went out and bought government bonds that were paying at the time 3%. And they actually went out and bought their own stocks. They were doing stock buybacks so, you know, that they could basically hold the value of their stocks and buy the stocks at depressed prices. So it was all about them making more money. So not only they took the bailout money, they didn't put it back out, and, you know, they should have been mandated to modify these loans. They didn't do any of that. And they're finding other ways to screw us. And they're making money off the money that we gave them. And it's just horrible what's going on right now.
Scott, let me ask you another question. When people are in trouble with their mortgage, when they're getting foreclosed on, obviously they can't turn to government, they can't turn to the AGs, although there are a few who stood up to this deal. How can they get in touch with Occupy Fort Lauderdale or Occupy Palm Beach? How can they ask for help of the only people who seem to be there, the only people that actually seem to be caring, people like yourself, and I salute you. How can they get in touch with Occupy Fort Lauderdale, sir?
Yeah, no, that's very important. Please, we do have a website, you know, that people can peruse, but to get to your question, they can contact us at foreclosures, plural, at occupyftl.org. Please have any and all listeners contact us at that email. It's foreclosures, plural, excuse me, at occupyftl.org. And
we will put that up on the site, sir.
And then our website is Occupy, spelled out, occupyfortlauderdale.org. And we're also on Facebook, Occupy Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, if we can all come together in numbers, in mass, I think we really have a good chance at fighting the fraud that's happening in this country right now.
Well, you know, I think the national action is important. There are people who have the resources to still participate on a national level. I know the progressives that, in my experience, we're typically the ones hanging on by the bare fingertips, if at all. So we don't have the funds necessarily to travel to D.C. or travel to these large national rallies. So Occupy Fort Lauderdale, Occupy Palm Beach, Occupy Martin, Occupy Daytona Beach, Occupy Orlando. This is where the rubber hits the road. And I salute you, sir, and the good people who are working with you, because this is the backstop. This is the only defense of working people. So I really appreciate the work you're doing. What else do you need to tell us, sir?
Yeah, I'd love to share with the audience that we are holding an event January 26th at 7 p.m. It is basically a teach-in that we are sponsoring. It's being hosted by Pax Christi at the great people. And it's going to be at the St. Maurice Catholic Church in Dania Beach, Florida. That's the 26th, 7 p.m. And we're going to hold a teach-in with a lot of experts on how to fight back, you know, the fraud that's being perpetrated right now on the American people. We expect a lot of people there, and we would welcome anybody in the area, in the South Florida area, to go to that event on the 26th at 7 p.m.
I'll be announcing it every one of our shows, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Richard.
Anything else you want to tell us about things? How are your police relations? Because I know Palm Beach has had some pretty good luck. Daytona Beach has had some pretty good luck. How are things going with you?
Well, we did so far so good for the Fort Lauderdale Police Department, Broward County Sheriff's Office. You know, so far we've had really good relationships with them. We did have seven students at a FIU protest. It wasn't even a protest. It was an arts and cultural gathering on campus, if you can believe that. That was about 10 days ago.
An educational experience, no doubt.
Yeah, correct. And it was, here we had seven students arrested, you know, for violating the peace or something along those lines. And so we know that
resisting arrest with thought.
I'm sorry?
I said resisting arrest with thought.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's gotten to be that bad. You know, it's and, you know, I hear you about Martin Luther King, civil rights movement, the protests against the Vietnam War. I really, you know, for years, Richard, over the last 10 years, I was witnessing things happening in this country, and I kept asking myself, where is the rage? Where, you know, has our country just been reduced down to sheep, and the American people just eat and take whatever is thrown at them. But I am so glad that my brothers and sisters in Occupy are standing up around this country, and we are not. We are saying no. We are not going to take this anymore. We know what you're doing, and we will not allow this anymore. And I really believe the coming weeks and months, you're going to see a lot of pushback and a lot of demonstration and protests around the country very, very loudly. And I think we're going to make a difference.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. Listen, you don't ever hesitate to call us again, okay?
Richard, thank you for having me and our group on the phone tonight.
Okay, you take care. We'll talk
to you
soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, friends, we're almost at the end of the show, and I've got a few more announcements to make. Speaking of Dr. King, I want to read you a little quote from the good doctor. He said, "We have moved into an era where we are called upon to raise a certain basic question about the whole society. We are still called upon to give aid to the beggar who finds himself in misery and agony on life's highway. But one day, we must ask the question of whether an edifice which produces beggars must not be restructured and refurbished." Also, we've got the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade coming up. Make sure you act to ensure that this access to health care is never taken away. Our good friend Emily Dalek put a quote up online that said, "No woman can call herself free who does not own and control her own body. No woman who can call herself free until she can choose consciously whether she will or will not be a mother." That's from Margaret Sanger, from our good friend Emily Dalek. Also, another story you should know about is the CIA has been working with the police department in New York, coordinating their spy activities. Clearly, this is a match made in Constitution-free zone. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're not supposed to be working with civilian police. Also, in Sweden, there's a new party. It's called the Pirate Party, opposing internet censorship. And they've now got a seat in the European Parliament. So you've heard the news. You've heard the latest. And the good news is there are good people every day doing powerful work to bring this world back into balance, to make this a better world. So with that ancient spirit song, "What You Gonna Do About Me?" I also want to stand with Brother Woody Guthrie, who said there's a better world a-coming, because there is. And that better world's a-coming because of good work by people like you. I want to again remind you, this show is brought to you through the good efforts of Mickey Royce, co-producer, myself, through sponsorship by the Media Goddess and Imagineering Productions. If you can use media support or public relations support, please give us a call. We couldn't do these shows unless these shows could be underwritten. Please don't hesitate to contact us. Next week we have some real surprises for you, so stay tuned. And I want to remind you that this is a better world. And when those Republicans come around our state lying and pretending that they're on your side, friends, you look them straight in the eye and you ask them, what side of history have conservatives been on? Let's see, during the Revolutionary War, they were on the side of the king. When it came time for human rights for women, they opposed it. When it came time for human rights for African Americans and Hispanics and Native Americans, they opposed it. When it came time for workers' rights, they opposed that too. But my friends, it's a better world coming. And it's coming because of you. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. This is Richard Spezak, News Director of Progressive News Network. You be free. Because freedom is a verb, my friends. Freedom is a verb.